Our gospel and sermon lesson this morning is found in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. You can follow along on your insert or the pew Bible. Again, Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. I read in Jesus' name. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they came and said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave to them and to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is going to take care of you. Everything that you need for this life and for the next, Jesus has, is, and will continue to provide. As I was preparing this sermon, I asked Sarah the other day, "What does God care about more, your body or your soul?" And she gave the perfect answer. She said, "I think this is a trick question." She said she wanted to answer that God cares about her soul more, but she knew that God had created both, and so he must care for both. And as her pastor and as her husband, I was very proud of her. We are all very tempted to think that God cares more about our soul than our body. But the God who created your soul also created your body, and Jesus' death on the cross saves you from your sins, but your sins don't just affect your soul, they also affect your body. Your body wastes away and eventually dies because of sin. But Jesus came to die on the cross for you, for all of you, for soul and body. And in this text today, we see that Jesus cares about all of you. Soul and body. The disciples needed a break. Jesus had sent, literally he had apostled them to go into the towns and villages. He'd given them authority over the unclean spirits. And in the power of Jesus, they went out preaching Jesus' message of repentance and faith. And they came back from the towns. After casting out many demons and healing many who were sick, they come back to Jesus. And they're excitedly telling him about all the things that they had done and all of the things that they had taught. And Jesus decides that they've done a lot of work. In fact, they've done enough work to earn a break. And so Jesus says that he's going to make them rest. He says, "You guys, you've been working so hard lately, you haven't even had time to eat. Come away by yourselves and let's go rest a while. Time for a vacay, as the cool kids say, I guess. Jesus and the disciples, they hop into their boat and they head to their hot and sandy destination. But the people noticed. The people watched the frenzied fans see where they're going, and those people leg it to where Jesus and the disciples were going. And by the time that Jesus and the disciples get there, the red carpet is out and the crowd is ready to receive them. And you can imagine how disappointed the disciples were at seeing this. They didn't want to be around these people anymore. They'd had enough of them on their little trip. It's time to be alone. But notice how Jesus responds as he sees the crowd, as he steps out of the boat. He has gut-wrenching compassion upon them because these people were harassed. They were helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, God in the flesh, he sees this pitiful, lost, wandering crowd, and he becomes their good shepherd. He doesn't dismiss them. He doesn't tell them, "You can wait for an hour while we at least grab a few bites to eat." Immediately he begins to teach them, and he feeds their souls with the words of his mouth. To every person in that crowd, Jesus gave exactly what they needed. Whether they had problems with their marriage, fights with their kids, struggles to make ends meet, whatever their problem was, Jesus met their need. He taught them, and his words were food for their tired, harassed, and helpless souls. You see, when Jesus teaches, he doesn't merely give facts. He doesn't just describe God. He doesn't give you a step-by-step plan on how to improve your marriage or your relationships with others. When Jesus teaches, he gives the words of life. In other words, when Jesus teaches, he gives himself. He is the Word of God who became flesh, and his words are the words of eternal life, the words that make us holy. Jesus gives the law as he teaches. He exposes all of us to be the sinners that we are, but he doesn't stop there. He continues to preach and to give us the words of the gospel. And those words of the gospel not only announce the full and free release of sin, but those words of the gospel actually deliver that full and free release of sin to you through your ears. Jesus does all of these things. He feeds their souls, but he's not done. He's going also now to take care of the people's bodies. The day is coming to a close, and the disciples are impatient. All this stuff about having a vacation, getting away from the crowds and having a little rest. What about that? When is that finally going to happen? And so, in a way to try and manipulate Jesus, they present the need that the crowd does have, but they do it in a way that's going to benefit them. How often do we do that? Oh, so-and-so has a need. How can I twist it to make it beneficial for myself? They tell Jesus, you know, remember why we came here? We came here to get rest. So send the crowds away. They need food, Jesus. Send them away. Send them away to the countryside and to the villages. Let them go buy themselves something to eat. Now, in all of this, recognize that Jesus is going to feed this crowd no matter what. Whether he takes the disciples' selfish advice and dismisses the crowd to go and buy for themselves, or whether he does what he actually ends up doing, Jesus is going to be the one to feed this crowd. If he had sent them away, the food that they would have bought with the money that they had earned would have still come from the hand of God. The food in that marketplace would have come from a baker. And that baker would have gotten his ingredients from a farmer, and the farmer would have gotten his crop from the earth that God sustains. The fish that they could have bought in that market had been brought there by fishermen who used the seas and the lakes and the oceans that God sustains to give them their fish. Jesus is going to feed this crowd no matter what. Their food, no matter what, was going to come from God. And Jesus is going to feed you today as well. I don't know what your lunch plans are, and frankly, I'm going to be like the disciples. I kind of don't care today. But wherever your food does come from, it doesn't come from the fridge. It doesn't come from the hand of the waitress. Your food doesn't even come from the grocery store. Your bread and your food finally and ultimately comes from the hand of God. And God, in His great and infinite wisdom, He decides that He's happy, more than happy, to use all sorts of middlemen. Who knows how many hundreds, if not thousands, of people were involved in getting your food to your plate today. Jesus will feed this crowd no matter what. But in this instance, He decides to cut out the middlemen. Jesus commands the crowd to sit down in the green grass. Remember where they are? Jesus said, "Come away to a desert place," and they went to the desert place, and the crowds followed them to a desert place. Where did this green grass come from? And notice the echo from our psalm, from Psalm 23. Jesus, the good shepherd, helping this harassed and helpless flock, makes them, commands them to sit down in the green grass. Don't miss that part of this miracle. He sits them down and He prays a blessing over the food, probably from Psalm 145. "The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand and You satisfy the desire of every living thing." And Jesus takes that blessed food and He hands it to the disciples, and the disciples in turn pass it out to the crowd. 5,000 men, plus women and children, eat until they are full. Now, 5 loaves and 2 fish isn't even enough for us really here to have enough to eat. But this crowd, this multitude, not only has enough, but there are leftovers for those selfish and impatient disciples. Don't ever let the devil make you think that Jesus can't or won't give you enough. There in the desert wilderness, a banquet is prepared by Jesus Himself. Jesus serves as the shepherd of the crowds, and they lack nothing good, and neither do we. The God who daily provides abundantly for all the needs of your life also daily provides abundantly for all the needs of your soul. God gives you everything that you need, both for this life and for the next. He provides for your bodily needs as well as for the needs of your soul. And to paraphrase our psalm, Yahweh is your shepherd. Because He is your shepherd, you lack nothing. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside the still waters. He restores your soul through the death and resurrection of Jesus. He leads you in paths of righteousness. For the sake of His name, for the sake of His reputation, He leads you in those paths of righteousness. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil because you have already been delivered from death. God's staff and His rod, they comfort you. And even in the midst of your enemies, your God prepares a banqueting table before you. He anoints your head with oil, and your cup overflows. God's goodness and God's mercy not just follow you, but pursue you. They hunt you down in the best possible way for all the days of your life. And because Christ's death is your death, and because Christ's resurrection is your resurrection, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.